Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
Next up, Dr. David Morehouse.
I'm so glad that you called me because you are doing such an important task, important work, because you are spreading a very positive message.
I was really moved by last week's show because we made a commitment to a worldwide event to try to change consciousness.
I'm feeling enormous energy around this show, just enormous. I really have to hand it to you, Nicole. You've created sort of a niche of amazing connections. It's just like the angels and the devatas that are like attracted to News for the Soul is amazing.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. And we're back. We're live. Happy Monday. We have the fun task of introducing you to a new member of the News for the Soul family right off the bat. The first Monday of the month, already didn't know what day it was. Awesome. Empowered Hearts with Shannon Hart. And we're going to get to know her. Let's bring her on. I always start with the famous first question, and then we unpeel the onion from there. Shannon, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hi, Nicole. Thank you so much for having me.
Yay. I'm excited to finally get to talk to you today. And so I mentioned my famous first question. I don't know how famous it is, but it's famous here because it's the question that connects us all as a community and a movement on News for the Soul since its grassroots inception 23 years ago, which is the place where we're seeking to discover what's really real and what's really possible. So many of us have had these beyond 3D norm experiences that set us on our path, awakened us, or impact us in some way. And so I'd like to ask about the earliest experience you can recall of that type and also the most profound. So wherever you'd like to begin.
Sure. Thank you so much. You know, I have to say my spiritual journey really didn't start until I was in probably my 20s or my 30s. I had quite a traumatic childhood, and so if anything were to have come through at that time, I think I was kind of living in survival mode for most of my childhood and pretty much up until my 20s and even into my 30s. So I'd always been spiritual. I'd always been kind of attracted to that world. I grew up Catholic, and so having kind of tried to get away from that lifestyle and that that community, I kind of threw everything out with the but throwing the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing, and so I kind of really didn't explore anything spiritual until my parents had both passed away when I was 25 and then when I was 30. And I was kind of in survival mode for a lot of my life, and it wasn't really until I was 33. And that's kind of when it was kind of a big awakening for me personally. I recognized that I didn't really grieve my parents' death in a very healthy way. And so I recognized that there was some issues with my life. And so I had heard about this plant medicine called ayahuasca. I had actually read about it in a trashy magazine when I was getting my hair done, and this girl had gone on an ayahuasca trip in the States, and so I was like, "What is that? I want to do that." I'd never really done drugs. I'd never kind of been interested in anything like that before, and so for me to kind of have this feeling inside of me to say, go and do something and not even research it, not even really know what it was. I'm very much like a planner. I kind of like to know what I'm doing when I'm doing it. And, you know, I like to do as much research as I can. And this was completely different. And so I knew that there was already some shift happening because it was totally unlike me to just go off into the jungle and drink some psychedelic medicine that I had never really experienced and knew much about. And that completely shifted my life. That took me onto the path that I've been leaving pretty much since then. Very intense, but...
I was just going to say 33 is an interesting number to discover that. And what a weird way to hear about ayahuasca out of the blue, a trashy magazine. Like the universe literally had to reach out to you where you were. I like that.
Yeah.
So here's what we want to do. We want to hear all about the trip, all the nitty gritty details. Don't leave anything out.
Okay. And it's funny because it was actually my 33rd birthday that I had had, that I drank my first, had my first experience with ayahuasca. So the prep in order to get ready for this medicine is, you have to go on a diet for a few weeks before, and you really need to stay away from social media and try to meditate as much as you can. I really wasn't into that as much at the time. And so, and one of the things you can't do is drink. And so my birthday is on St. Patrick's Day. And so the very first day of the ceremony, in order to prepare us for the ceremony, they have us drink this lemongrass tea, and then you drink water until you purge. And so I remember sitting there thinking, like, I'm used to drinking until I throw up on my birthday, but not like this. So it was, that was just the prep for getting ready for the ceremony. And so it was very challenging. So there was, in that retreat, that was my first retreat. I've been on three altogether. And on that retreat, there was five ceremonies. And the first three, I really didn't have much of a, any sort of psychedelic experience. It was very much just my body was purging a lot of toxic stuff. So anybody who's familiar with ayahuasca, who has heard of it, it's pretty famous for, you throw up a lot, or you go to the toilet a lot. And that's pretty much all I was doing for the first 3 days. And so I was like, I had two ceremonies left, and I was talking to the facilitators, and I said, I only have 2 days left, and all I've done is puke and poop, basically. And so it was very much, and the facilitators there were amazing. I was very much in my head, and I still am. It's still very much something that I'm working on in my own spiritual journey is, kind of releasing that control. And, I did everything for the prep to a T. I did everything, quote unquote, perfectly so that I could have this perfect experience. And so that's, and the medicine doesn't work like that, And so they ask for you to have an intention before you set for ceremony. And so I would sit and I would have an intention. And then, the idea was like, oh, okay, well, I'll work on this day. And then I'll work on this day. And then I'll work on this day. And, as a lot of things in spirituality, it's not cut and dry and lateral, and it's very fluid, and you kind of have to go with that flow. And I was a very rigid person, and that was not flying for me. And so one of the facilitators there was so many ways that apart from the actual ceremony itself, so many things that I was learning on a spiritual, on a bigger level, and that was one of them. If I had gone through that entire five ceremonies and did nothing but puke and poop, I would have been really angry, even though, you know, obviously this medicine, like, it has an intelligence, it has a spirit, and it knows what I need. And if that's all that I got out of it, then to me, that should have been what I, you know, that's what I needed in order to kind of accept that and take away from it. But the one of the facilitators, she could kind of see that I was like, you know, it was really important that I had this experience. And you travel all this way and you spend all this money, and, you know, for that to kind of happen, you know, it would be really disappointing. And so she said, you know, why don't you try going in without an intention? You know, why don't you just go in and just kind of just let whatever happens happen, and just kind of see where it goes. And so that kind of scared me, kind of going in and not really having an intention or, you know, something to work on or, you know, whatever. And, but I took her advice and I said, you know what, okay, this is how it is and this is how it's going to be. And so I was in the bathroom, and this might be a little bit graphic for some people, but I was going to the bathroom, and so you're in the middle of the jungle and you're scooping up, there's no running water. So you're kind of scooping shavings into a pail, essentially, is how you go to the bathroom. And I remember thinking, like, it was like the 30th time I've got up to go to the bathroom. And I just remember thinking, like, oh my God, like, screw this. And then all of a sudden it was just like, you know what? Like, I'm so grateful that none of this junk is in my body anymore. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Screw this. And I was a little bit more graphic. I was a bit more, you know, I was actually cursing, but I was saying, F this, as I was like scooping the shavings into the pail. And then I marched up to that, like, Maloka, where the big center where we were all gathered around in a circle. I marched up the stairs into this area where the maestros were, the shaman were singing their prayers to us. And I asked for another dose, and the facilitator was like, are you okay? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good. And after that, so I had this second dose, and it was just like, bam, basically all of the things that I'd wanted to work on that entire week all kind of happened in that one ceremony. And it was just like, you know, I had this really profound experience, and it completely just was a huge paradigm shift for me. And it was, it really changed the course of where I was going. And, you know, it wasn't like a magic cure all. Like, you know, I had all of this insights and all of these, you know, epiphanies, but, you know, it can only do so much. And so as soon as I got home, like, that's when the real work started. But I had this huge gift, and it was really like profound. And all of these things that I'd been, you know, thinking about, and issues with my relationships and issues with my own stuff, like, obviously the rigidity and, you know, the control issues and all of this stuff that kind of came to the forefront. And it was just like, yeah, like, this is your deal. You need to deal with all of this stuff before you're able to kind of, you know, move into the world and be, you know, integrated and be happy. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was, that was a huge thing for me, for sure.
This is the one that we wanted the details on. I know it's personal, so whatever you feel comfortable sharing, but, you know, what happened once you had that second dose? Like, what did you see? What did you hear? How did it show up? How was it profound?
Yeah. So, and I really, I'm just going to add a disclaimer here. So for anybody who hasn't had any experiences with plant medicine and, you know, is interested, the biggest thing to know is that everybody's experience is different. Everybody's, how they, you know, work with the medicine and how the medicine works with you. It's very much a personal relationship. And so one of the things that was really bothering me when I was there was, you know, everybody else was having all these, like, you know, they were having, you know, one of them was flying on a beetle and he was like going through the jungle. And then one of them was like, you know, her body was physically talking to her and she was saying sorry to it. And, you know, so I had all these things to compare. And I think that was really what was hurting me, was, you know, I was like, all these people are having these amazing experiences and epiphanies and I wasn't. And so I'll just make sure that everybody kind of knows that it's, you know, it's your own very personal experience with it. And
On the disclaimer note, it's also a good thing to mention too, is that as you're alluding to, it's a sacred process. You don't do it on your own. It's not a recreational thing. It's you have to have trained people to hold the space, right? So Absolutely. Having said all that, let's go into it.
Yeah. So, and yeah, and, you know, in my interpretation of what happens, you know, it just be careful sharing with other people. Like the big nuggets were like, you know, I actually had, and I didn't even know, I wasn't into yoga or anything like that, but I had this blue woman with a nose ring appear to me, and who I later, somebody, you know, pointed out to me that, like, that was Kali, you know, the goddess of destruction. She came into your vision, which is like, who's that? Like, I didn't even know who that was, you know, and I'd never, like, I don't remember ever learning about it. And so, you know, for it to kind of pop up into, you know, this vision was, like, you know, really strange, but, like, also awesome. And so basically she showed up and I was asking her physical questions, you know, like, okay, well, what do I need to do with my career? And she's like, whatever you want. And I was like, what? Like, that's why I'm here, is to ask questions about that. And she's like, well, what makes you happy? And so it was very much like a directed kind of guide almost. That was I was asking her questions about my life, and she was kind of redirecting it because I wanted very specific things. Okay, what about this man? And so she was able to kind of draw from that and say, okay, well, what does he represent to you? You know, it was, you know, this man that I'd had this relationship with, and it was on again, off again, and somebody who wasn't available. And, you know, it was kind of like, okay, well, why do you find him attractive? And so what is his essence? And the same thing with my career. Okay, well, what are you doing with your career? And I was a nurse at the time, and I'm still nursing part-time, but obviously I was kind of feeling that I needed to get away from it. And she, you know, I said, okay, so should I do life coaching? She kind of just shrugged and was like, well, whatever makes you happy, you know? And I was like, I thought that I was going to get all these specific answers. And I was almost a little frustrated that I was getting these kind of like more roundabout ways of like, okay, but what, you know, what is making you happy? What is your purpose? You know, it doesn't really matter what you're specifically doing. It's just, what is the energy of what you're doing? What is your intention? But she also gave me some figure waggings as well. You know, like my parents were both alcoholics, and I, you know, I wasn't an alcoholic, but I definitely used it, you know, to help, you know, calm my nerves, or if I was in social situations, it was kind of like a crutch. And she was basically kind of like, you know, that this isn't good for you. Like, you know, that you shouldn't be drinking, basically. Like, and it was very, that one specific thing was very, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, she didn't physically say that to me, but I was shown basically myself with a wine bottle in my hand, and I was hitting a wall, and I kept hitting this wall physically with this wine bottle. And then, you know, the wall seemed fine. And then all of a sudden there was all these cracks kind of seeping at the bottom of the foundation. And then there's water leaking through. And to me, that meant like, you know, it's okay in moderation, but, you know, eventually this is going to take its toll, essentially, is what I got from this very abstract, that's the word I was looking for, abstract kind of experience. And so that sometimes ayahuasca kind of works in that way. You're not given words or actual, you know, dialogue, but you're given kind of images and pictures, and that's sometimes how it works with you as well. So I was kind of, what I got out of that is like, I should stay away from it, essentially. So, but, you know, and the ayahuasca itself, with plant medicine, some of the, like, you know, San Pedro or peyote, they're known kind of as the grandfather, whereas ayahuasca is known as the tough grandmother. And so she kind of does give you a bit of an ass kicking. And yeah, you know, I kind of like, even though there was some profound insights and some beautiful moments, and I felt like absolute bliss by the end of this ceremony, but there was definitely some like, okay, like you have been doing this and this isn't serving you. You were doing this and it's not serving you anymore. And so I had, like I said, I had a list of homework to do when I got home.
Wow. Sounds like a very civil, productive chat for a goddess of destruction, doesn't it?
It's funny, like, yeah, she wasn't happy, and so, like, I thought it was going to be like this perfect, like, you know, deity that was really happy and whatever, and like there was parts where she was kind of mad at me. So I was like, okay. Like, I took her seriously, let me tell you.
Wow. Well, that's, you know, one of the benefits people talk about. By the way, we've talked about ayahuasca from as early as 2001 on this network. One of my regulars was Stuart Wild, who spoke a lot about this and went to, you know, hold retreats. We've heard all kinds of things that happened in and all kinds of graphic descriptions, but the mind does work in pictures. We have to go into left brain to translate into words and then back into a picture to get it. Like, so it makes sense that I like the visual that she gave you. That's really effective, and you got it. So
yeah.
How did it go once you got back to, quote, regular life? How was the transition and what changed for you?
So it was, and to clarify, like, I worked with this medicine for 3 years in a row. When I left, I knew I wasn't done. I had that feeling when I was leaving. I said, okay, there's more here. But when I did get back, and it kind of leaves a little bit of what I call a mist. And so you're kind of in this, like, this mist of, you know, your monkey mind chatter is kind of quieted down, and you're able to kind of focus a lot more. And that lasts, that lasted probably 6 months for me the very first time I came back. And so it was really a lot of clarity and a lot of eye-opening. But that's where the real work was for me, because I realized that some of the people who were in my life at that time were not helping me, you know, grow, and were probably, you know, in some ways harmful for me. And I have to say, like, it didn't come right away for me. I still had a lot of work to do on myself. And while I had a lot of revelations and I knew that certain things were not good for me, I'm not going to say that this was a magic cure-all and all of a sudden I made all these changes in my life and everything was perfect, because it wasn't. I still continue to do some of the things that I knew weren't good for me, but I didn't really have the strength or the power or the sense of self-worth in order to kind of break away from it. I had the awareness, though. That was the gift. I knew that what I was doing was not serving me. I still went back into my nursing career. I was still doing that full time, even though I knew that wasn't serving me. I was still hanging around some of the people who were not super healthy for me, who, you know, they would also drink more than what they should. And I, you know, I still, you know, I drank every once in a while, even though I'd been warned that, you know, you probably should stay away from this. And it wasn't like a perfect transition. I didn't like up and quit my job. And they will tell you that too. Like they will say, you know, don't, you have all these, you know, amazing gifts that you're coming out of here with, but we really recommend that you don't make any major changes in your life for the first 3 months, because there is that kind of honeymoon phase that you're coming off of the medicine. And, you know, you're not necessarily apt to make decisions from a grounded point, if that makes sense. And so they tell you, you know, if you're thinking about breaking up with somebody, we really recommend not doing that. Or if you're thinking of changing your job or moving, don't do any of these big major things right now, you know, give it some time. And so what happened in that time for me is that I kind of just got back into my old routine, and I saw myself slip back into like some of the old unhealthy things that were not serving me, but that I still needed to bring out. Because, you know, it's layers, right? So it's, you know, what they were able to get through to me in that one retreat. And I think a lot of it was, there was physical purging a lot. So, like, there was really only the one ceremony that I had this profound, like, you know, interactive experience. So, you know, the next time that I went a year later, you know, it was uncovering more. Okay, well, I'm doing this. Why am I doing this? You know, this isn't serving me, but why am I continuing to go back to this knowing that this isn't serving me? So it was definitely when I went back the year later, like that's kind of where it got real. And so there was more things that were revealed to me, things that I had repressed in my memory that I didn't recall that was affecting my life. I'd had some sexual abuse that I didn't recall before. And so that was shown to me. And you know, again, it was tough. All of this stuff was really, really hard. And, that second time that I went back, it was, you know, I've never wanted to quit anything in my life, but I got halfway through this retreat the second time, and I wanted to give up. Like, I was angry at the medicine. I was angry at myself. You know, one of the things that was kind of showing me was that I was like this martyr. And, you know, I was, because I was a nurse, and so I was helping people, but it was like I was helping people because I felt this need to serve, but it wasn't coming from a place where I actually wanted to serve. It was coming from a place where I didn't feel like a good person unless I was helping other people. And it was like this huge, like, you know, I guess in a way an ego death in some ways, you know. I kind of like that had been who I was. I was this person who was giving because there was something underneath me that felt like I wasn't worthy or good enough unless I was giving to other people. So it was, you know, and that revealing some of the abuse and some of the other stuff that had come up was like, okay, well, now I know where this stems from. Like, I understand now that, you know, this is why I'm acting the way I was. And again, like, it was, you know, continuing to do the work on myself in the year after, like in between the two retreats as well, working with a psychologist, working with a life coach, and kind of getting, you know, more things unraveled. And so I'm kind of like, I mean, I'm never going to be done, but I would say, like, you know, the 3 years that it was pretty intense of work, really intense work on myself in order to kind of get to where I am now. So it's and plant medicine's been a huge, huge help for that.
I like how you explain the, you know, it's all processing and integration and moving forward, and there's cure all, period, and no one's ever done. So as long as we're in this skin bag, we're not finished. And even then, so I keep getting hooked by these threes. Have you done any work to find out the significance? You were on your 33rd birthday for your first process. You had three sessions with nothing until you let go. And then you did three retreats. What's up with the threes?
Oh, you know, I actually have never really, I've never really explored it. Like, I mean, it's funny because I'd never really thought of the significance of the 33, but I was talking to some other people who have also done some work on themselves, and they all three of them said that it was when they were 33 that they had this kind of shift. And the only thing that I know of historically or, you know, spiritually, like, Jesus was 33 when he died. That's really the only thing that's coming to me.
You know what? I mean, it's screaming now, three of them at 33. I mean, it's just the universe is yelling at us. You need to go find out what that means and let me know when you do. I mean, it doesn't get louder than that. Interesting. Threes. So, okay. So you're integrating and moving forward with the story. How did it all start together to who you are and what you're bringing forward now?
So I think, I'll touch a little bit on one of the ceremonies because in the second retreat, the really hard one. So it was basically, this little girl, in my ceremony, my inner child came through in this ceremony, and she couldn't trust her parents because my parents were not, you know, they weren't healthy. And so I just saw this little girl who was just so scared, and she felt completely alone. And, you know, I recognized that I was kind of living my life as this little girl. You know, that ego that I had developed at three, you know, we develop egos all throughout our life, and there's different egos and they serve purposes, right? So it's, you know, the ego isn't bad. It's necessary for what we're experiencing. But, you know, there's work Nicole, and then there's home Nicole, and there's, you know, there's work Shannon, and there's home Shannon. And, you know, we have personas that we create. And this little girl basically had been running my life, essentially, because she hadn't been feeling safe. And so in that ceremony, I took her and I hugged her and I told her that, you know, I'm here for her now. You know, she can relax now because, you know, I'm here. And I'm here to take care of her. I'm going to be the parent now. And so she just, you know, was able to, you know, relax in my arms. And I felt a lot of my, you know, anxiety that I'd been suffering from and, you know, the rigidness and the need to control, like that all stems from being that little girl who, you know, she had to be her own parent. She created this, this person who, and, you know, 3 and 10 seem to be very important numbers as well in my life and in some of the work that I've done as well, that those two ages seem to be very important. And so like there's a 3-year-old girl who's like very afraid of everything. And then there's a 10-year-old girl who needs to control. And I saw them as two separate entities essentially. And so it's the 10-year-old that I kind of needed to talk to. And, you know, she'd been the parent. She had been the one who had been getting herself to school, and she'd been the one who had been, you know, getting her homework done and making her lunch. And, you know, she was so far away from like what my parents were, who were, you know, they were really obviously with their issues. Like they weren't like the parents that I needed. I didn't have that structure. So that 10-year-old created it, and she did a damn good job because she got me through like high school. She got me through university. She helped me pay my bills. Like, I mean, this girl has been basically controlling every aspect of my life, unfortunately, because she couldn't feel like she could relax. And so this 10-year-old basically, and 10-year-olds see everything in black and white. So they're not able to decipher, you know, like it's all an unthinking, right? So if somebody is, I'm getting along with somebody really well, you know, oh, like, you know, they love me and everything's perfect. And then, oh, say that they don't want to hang out with me today. Oh my God, they hate me, you know? And so that's kind of how 10-year-olds see the world. And unfortunately, that's how I was seeing the world. I had to be rigid with everything because if I wasn't, that would mean that, you know, everything would crumble. And I couldn't really see anything other than that. And so when I had this, you know, this experience in the ceremony, I was like, okay, this is a huge part of my healing. And when I went into my life coaching, the life coaching that I chose was based around, the program that I chose was based around inner child work and inner parenting. So basically being your, like a parent to the, because we all have that in the inner children in us, right? And they all have their fears and they all have their hangups. And being able to parent them through our life. And, you know, these kids are with us forever. You know, it's not something that it's like, okay, it's this inner child is going to heal and then going to go away. No, like they're always there with us. It's like a little inner family. And recognizing how much that she had been kind of, she had her fingers in everything, you know, like she was, you know, with my diet and exercise, I was really rigid because, you know, if I fell off the wagon even once, I would just like, you know, I would eat everything, right? So if I wasn't eating perfectly clean, I was, you know, binging. So that was the 10-year-old. I was like, oh my God, there she is. And, you know, when I was at work, like I had to do everything perfectly at work because if I even did anything where I slacked a little, well, then I wasn't working hard enough. And so, oh, okay, there she is too, you know? So talking to this 10-year-old and being able to, like, you know, parent her and find out, okay, what are you afraid of? And, you know, being able to say in, you know, language that a 10-year-old would understand, like, okay, what are you afraid of? Oh, well, I'm afraid if I don't do this perfectly, somebody's not going to like me. I'm not going to be loved, you know, whatever it is that she's upset about. And so I just talk her through that process. And so that's what I do with my clients is, you know, I really help them get in touch with that inner child who needs attention because, you know, we see some of the things that we thought were silly when we were kids. But there's a little part of us inside of us that, you know, it's not silly, you know, like if whenever you tell yourself, oh, I'm being silly for being upset about this when my friend blew me off or whatever. Well, no, there's a little girl inside you that is upset. So instead of saying that it's not a big deal, you know, acknowledging that that's something that is upsetting you. It helps you kind of move through it. Whereas if you're pushing it off, well, then basically you're telling that little girl inside of you that it's not important and that her needs aren't important and that her fears aren't important. So she doesn't feel like she's being heard, if that makes sense.
Well, totally, yes. At one point, I think my inner 6-year-old was running my diet plan, always wanted birthday cake. It's very literal. Totally get it. So is this part of how you help coach people with heart-to-heart coaching?
Yes. Yeah. So my business and Tarot Hearts mentoring. So one of the biggest things that I have found, and this is working with the nursing population, you know, a lot of us feel very just empowered to make a difference. Like obviously working with nurses a lot, and people in healthcare, is, you know, we're in a system in healthcare in here in Canada, you know, every country has its problems. In Canada, you know, there's, we just feel like we're powerless to make a difference. And so a lot of nurses, especially, or women in healthcare, you know, they feel like they're not being heard, they're not being listened to, and they feel like they're victims, you know? And so and also coming from an Irish background where there's a lot of oppression, a lot of, feeling like victims and a lot of, you know, violence. Like I have that blood in me where I get really upset when I see somebody that, you know, take advantage of other people or, you know, any sort of oppression. It really gets my, you know, I get really fired up about it. And so I wanted to be able to kind of merge the two together. So, you know, empowering people and, you know, from their hearts to be able to make a difference in their lives. And, that's kind of where the idea between Empowered Hearts Mentoring, and my last name is Hart, so I definitely wanted that in the business name. But yeah, it's a lot of about helping people set healthy boundaries. And I, like I said, I do that mostly through the inner child work, for people who maybe didn't have the best boundaries, you know, learning how to do that when they grew up. And I'm just finding, like, you know, it started with people in healthcare, but I'm finding, you know, everybody kind of needs this work, you know, that we all kind of have to acknowledge that there's a little part of us that's very black and white and, you know, that is being neglected. So, you know, kind of helping them go through that and then empowering them to be able to, you know, you can do this on your own. You're not a victim. You know, whatever your life circumstance, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, you have the power to make a difference in your life, whatever you want that to look like.
I love that you're also supporting and empowering the people within the medical community. I was going to say business.
Yeah,
man, it's needed there. Holy crapoly. Open are they to working with you, and how is that?
You know, it's really interesting because this is kind of something that I've gone back and forth with as well, because my spiritual side is very strong and I'm very, you know, I have I know what I believe and I'm very happy to share it with people who are open to it, but I've definitely had to kind of, do a little bit of a dance with some people who are in the medical field because, you know, they've been raised and I went through the same system. So I know, right. And I was very rigid myself in my learning, and it was just like, yeah, basic anatomy, basic musculature, basic, you know, organ function, and just what you'd learn in an anatomy book. And then going into Western medicine, it's like, okay, like this is how we do things. And, you know, I think we're getting to a point where we are getting frustrated because we're recognizing that, you know, Western medicine doesn't have all the answers, and it's quickly appearing that people with chronic illness, it's not helping them, you know. And so we're seeing, nurses are seeing on a daily basis, nurses and people in healthcare, you know, all allied health, like RTs and PTs and everybody, you know, as well as physicians, you know, we're seeing that, you know, what we're doing isn't working. So how are we actually helping our patient? And that's one of the reasons why I kind of got out of it, was because I really felt like I wasn't doing anything for my patient anymore. We were slapping a Band-Aid on these things, you know, instead of, you know, asking, okay, well, why is this 30-year-old having diabetes? Why are we getting 30-year-olds with diabetes now? Why are we getting people with, you know, in their 20s with hearts and, you know, heart attacks and strokes? And, you know, instead of, you know, asking these questions, we're just treating it, you know, the only way that we know how, and it's not working. And I think we're starting to kind of, you know, shift our thinking a little bit into being more into the more holistic, natural, energetic type of community and thoughts, and, you know, and willing to explore that. You know, physicians, I think, are probably going to be the hardest because, you know, they've spent, you know, 15 years of their life dedicating to this one area of education, and now you're telling them that, you know, they're not helping anybody. Like, that's a really hard blow to be able to serve them. So I have sympathy for people who are in Western medicine who, you know, they're taught this one way, and, you know, they think that this is the only way. But it's clearly not working. And so that's kind of where I'm at, is I kind of have to be delicate with how I word things. You can't go too woo with them, obviously. You know, you say the word chakra to some people and they kind of just roll their eyes and then they, you know, they space out. And at the end of the day, I have to honor that this isn't their language, right? So if I'm trying to help people, I have to honor and meet them where they're at. So I have to kind of be careful with how I'm wording things and, you know, questioning things. But there's no denying that there's an issue. And I think hopefully we'll eventually start getting it.
Well, people do seem to be waking up on more of a mass scale. I would be remiss if I didn't ask the following question. I know this is a little bit more of a controversial area, but what is your take on what's going on with the whole COVID shutdown, global everything?
Interesting. Okay. So I'm really glad you asked.
I'm glad you're glad.
When it first happened, you know, like I still have my Western, you know, background and, you know, I recognize that there are certain merits to what the medical community is trying to achieve. Like there is physical aspects to this virus. And I don't dispute that it's real. Like, I mean, I've seen people with it. It's not that it's not real, but how real is it, you know, and how much is our mind, because that's the other thing too that I've really been exploring is, you know, how much our mind is creating and working, you know, like reading some of Joe Dispenza's work and some of the other spiritual books written by people who were, you know, cardiologists and psychologists and people who have kind of shifted to the more spiritual realm. You know, our minds really create a lot. So if you believe that you're going to get COVID, well, you know, chances are if this is something that you keep thinking in over and over and over again, if this is what you want to program into the universe, well, there you go, right? And so I'm not denying that there is this virus, but at the same time, personally, the detriment that I'm seeing within healthcare on the mental effects of it, the psychosocial effects of it, that's going to cause way more damage than what any of this physical virus is going to cause. It already has, you know, the amount of damage that it's caused to people psychologically. And, you know, I have a fear, like, I mean, now that we're all wearing masks and we're socially distancing, it's like, okay, well, what are these children who are growing up? If this is not going away, you know, what kind of people are they going to be who they can't socialize, they can't interact with people the way that they normally do? You know, what kind of society are we going to create here? And that's my personal fear. But that being said is, like, I mean, and it's causing a lot of rifts even within the spiritual community as well. And, you know, some people are feeling very much, very strongly and passionately that they need to get out and they need to educate people. Like, you know, this is all, you know, this is a way of controlling and this is this and this is this. And I had a very dear friend who we actually kind of just a few months ago, we had a falling out over it because she felt very strongly that, you know, she needs to educate people and she needs to get it in people's minds that this is wrong. And, you know, and she got really angry at me because I didn't share that view. Now, I personally feel that because she was just as engaged in fear and that energy as what people who were actually afraid of the COVID virus, who were afraid to go out of their house. Like, to me, it didn't seem like there was any difference. You know, she was getting up in the morning and she was listening to podcasts and she was listening to, you know, watching videos. She would go to work, she would come home, and then that's all she would listen to again. It's all she talked about. Like, I went to visit her and I was there for 2 weeks and literally she could not talk about anything else. It was completely consuming her life. And, you know, from where I was sitting, she wasn't grounded. She wasn't healthy. And, you know, she was scared. And it, to me, like, I didn't feel like, you know, if this is what we need to do, you know, this isn't the energy that we should be in order to educate people. And like I said, I don't know the answer to what this virus, you know, none of us actually knows, right? Like, I mean, I think there's very few people who are, you know, privy to that. And so she would say, okay, well, you know, all of this stuff on the COVID and the heck having to wear masks, and it's all a sense of control, and they're all trying. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, you need to do your research and blah, 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 blah. I'm okay. Well, where did you get your information from? Because if you're saying all of my information, well, what I call my information, but I'm more sympathetic, I think, to the, you know, people who are thinking that this is something that is, you know, contrived. But, you know, even if you're saying that all of the, you know, the COVID numbers and everything that the government is saying is, it's false. Well, but how do you know that your information is true? Right. You know, I think we're in a time now where it's, you know, information and truth is like, it, you know, it's really difficult to decipher what is real and what is not. And I just know for me, my truth is I know that I'm put on this planet in order to help empower people and help, you know, them in a way that is going to help them overcome some of their issues in a way, hopefully, that is similar to, you know, to mine. Like, hopefully if my clients haven't had as much extensive trauma as I had, but being able to help them in that way, like that's what grounds me. That's what helps me feel like I'm making a difference. And, you know, going on this radio show and talking to you and, engaging with people who are like-minded in the community, but from a healthy way, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Because we ended up falling out over it. And, you know, because that's what she was saying, you know, it's dividing people. And, well, okay, well, it worked because now her and I are divided, right? So it did its job there. So even if all of the things that she believed was true, you know, what is she going to do about it? And how is being in this energy of fear going to help anything, if that makes sense? Because to me, it doesn't seem like it's healthy at all.
Well, I think people are coming from all different places on this. And like you said, even this quote unquote spiritual community, I'm always looking for a different word. We need new words. We're in uncharted land, we're on groundless ground and trying to find the way. But the one thing we can all agree on is division is unhealthy and harmful. So there we go on that. We're ticking down here. Oh my God, the time's gone by too fast. So let's get the nutshell overview of what you're bringing to the table with your work and what you propose to be bringing to future shows.
Sure. So, and I, having being someone who has gone from somebody who would plan everything to the T, I think normally I would have notes written down and everything else. And I'm really trying to embrace that side of me where it's just going purely on the intuition. I'm feeling that what my business does is, like I said, I help people get in touch with their inner child, and I help empower them to make different decisions in their life that will hopefully give them the feeling of empowerment and, you know, healing and whatever kind of healing modality they need. I also have my Reiki and my therapeutic touch. So I do distance online energy healing as well. So it's kind of whatever the client needs. So I'm open to exploring what this radio show can bring. And I kind of don't want to paint myself in a box right now because I've had a few thoughts kind of flying in my head, and I'm not sure if callers would be interested in calling in, and I could do some online coaching that way. There's lots of topics that I'd love to talk about as well. So I'm kind of thinking, you know, maybe a mix of both of those things where there are some episodes where I just talk about whatever's going on, and I'm happy to have your listeners call in as well. If there's anything going on with their inner child work, I can give them some on-the-spot coaching as well.
Awesome. Oh my God, we have 4 minutes to the top. So here's what we have to do. At the end of every show, we do shameless self-promotion, and this is coming from a place of being of service as opposed to informal, you know, old energy style. promotion. So from that place, what would you like to share and let people know about today?
So I am actually offering a special right now. My sessions, I'm offering, if you sign up for 3 sessions, you'll get the 4th free today. And I do a variety of different sessions. So I have my just the straight coaching one-on-one for an hour. I also have energy healing, and that's 30 minutes. And then I also have what I'm in the works of getting the logistics of, but I'm calling it the heart method, where it's kind of a mixture of the energy healing and the coaching as well. And as well as doing some kind of, you know, I'm big into Tai Chi and Qigong. And so allowing that to kind of come into the session as well. So it's whatever the client feels that they need, but that's the special that I'm offering right now is if you sign up for 3 sessions, you get the 4th for free.
And what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
So I have a website. My website is empoweredheartsmentoring.com. I also have a Facebook page as well, and that's Empowered Hearts Mentoring as well. And Empowered Hearts, H-E-A-R-T, Mentoring. And then I can also, my email for people who are interested in booking a session as well. So that's at hearttoheartmentoring@gmail.com. And that's HART2HEART mentoring@gmail.com.
Well, I'm excited to see what unfolds. I'm glad we all left our lists and notes at home and played full on in a movie hour. And looking forward to more. It was great talking to you today, Shannon.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, Nicole. I'm really excited.
Yay. I am too. Shannon Hart, all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. Send us the info for your shameless self-promotion. We'll put it on your webpage on our site as well.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. We'll talk again next showtime. In the meantime, next up, Brad Yates, EFT tapping, clearing your blocks to abundance right after this quick break.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.